Welcome again to Agents of Providence, where we're exploring some ideas of what it means to be open and inspired followers of Jesus Christ here in the 21st century. I am Doyle Burbank Williams. I'm a visual artist. I'm a practicing creative theologian, and it's my privilege to be the pastor for the people of New Visions United Methodist Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm hoping that these ideas will spark some conversation, at least in your own mind, about how we make the world a better place by interacting with each other for the sake of love and justice and hope, and how we open ourselves to being people of a kinder spirit. So stay tuned, and we will explore just exactly some of those ideas. We've been spending time in a series exploring that what we share connects us. And part of what we share, the part that we're looking at today, is the community-making spirit. These are ideas coming up for Pentecost Sunday, so they do focus on the Holy Spirit, but I think they may take us down a path or two that we have not spent much time considering before. Lots of times we tend to think that becoming a part of a community is our own idea. Well, Pentecost Sunday invites us to think that, well, maybe something else is involved. So we begin with the story of Pentecost Day coming from the second chapter of Acts. Acts 2, 1 through 21. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now, there were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their own native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How is it then that each of us can hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the regions of Libya bordering on Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "Ah, they're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your children will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants of every gender, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of God comes. And everyone who calls on God's name will be saved. ...2020 was the worst year for wildfires in our history. Some of them were caused by lightning strikes, some because the fierce winds that year blew down power lines. But also there were those caused by the sparks the breeze stole from people's campfires. What we thought we could manage was literally blown out of our control, devastatingly beyond our imaginations. That's my biggest complaint about how the day of Pentecost is portrayed in a lot of classical art. In these old paintings, you might see a puff of wind and the tongues of fire which alight on the disciples, looking like little cowlicks of flame, as if each of their heads had a tiny wick. Everything is shown calmly, under control, even stayed. I find it intriguing that the Holy Spirit is described as three of the four classical elements, wind, water, and fire. Earth is the fourth classical element. Humans are described as earth creatures. What intrigues me is that wind, water, and fire are the least controllable of the elements. The wind blows where it will, and nobody knows where it comes from or where it goes. Water is the primordial deep, chaos embodied. It erodes solid rock and its floods sweep away humanity's most impressive structures. But fire. Fire is the destroyer of everything. We use fire every day in engines, furnaces, light bulbs, and more, thinking that we understand it and control it, but like a prisoner, it waits for its moment to escape. And when it does, it burns like, well, like wildfire. Pentecost is a reminder that, try as we may, we can never control the Holy Spirit. In Mark's gospel, the Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness following his baptism. Not accompanies, not leads, not entices, but drives, pushes, herds, buffets, and shoves Jesus into the wilderness where he will face temptation and be tended by God's messengers. It's not a gentle or a tender depiction of the Spirit. In the Pentecost story, the disciples hear the howling of a fierce wind. Yet, the songs we sing say things like the murmur of the dove's song, or sweet, sweet Spirit, or where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace, or she comes sailing on the wind, or Spirit, Spirit of gentleness. Like the painters of old, we still tend to try to tame the Spirit. The howling fierce wind scares us, and we prefer to believe that we choose where we go in life, not being driven or herded even by the Holy Spirit. Which finally brings us back to the things we share that connect us. Now, throughout this series, we have visited ideas like how our shared brokenness brings us together. Our shared stories tell us who we are. Our shared welcome creates a safe place to call home. Our shared visions, at least looking in the same direction, even if we see different things, keep us together and on the road forward. The food we share creates community, and the needs we share are transformed into home in the midst of community. The perspective of this series so far has been on the things we do or share that are transformative. But what if all of this was not entirely of our own volition? Now, I'm a firm believer in free will, the ability and capacity to make our own choices and actions. Yet, I also have a visceral appreciation of the complicated intersectionality of the world that we live in. Our choices and actions are always affected by those around us, their choices and actions too, and even by those across the universe whom we may never meet or even know about. We have free choice, but none of our choices is absolutely objective, independent, or isolated. The shared thing that brings us together, the shared thing that we have little control over, is the Holy Spirit. Now, what I'm saying is that this community that we're building, that we call New Visions, is not entirely our own idea. While we've come to New Visions through our family or friendships, or the histories of the churches that have preceded us, or maybe even because we decided to walk in a door that was new to us. But underneath those choices was something beyond our own control, the invitation of the Holy Spirit. Just as the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness, or the disciples from their comfortable upper room into the streets of Jerusalem, the Spirit was working in each of our lives to bring us to the place where we could choose to be a part of New Visions. New Visions was a dream of the Holy Spirit long before we thought of it. Now, what we share that connects most essentially and foundationally is the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not unique in that. Every community that forms because of love and hope, I believe, is spirit-based. But I also believe it's human nature to forget the Spirit and think we do it all by ourselves. We are New Visions. We are becoming New Visions because each one of us was invited, gathered, or even driven here by the Holy Spirit. We are New Visions because each of us has had the capacity to respond to the Spirit. The good news in this is that we never do any of this all on our own. When we organize a justice movement to help our neighbors in Lincoln, it is a Spirit endeavor, not just human networking. When we hold events like music and tie-dye and art displays outside where our neighbors can see us, they're not just desperate attempts to get noticed on our part. They are Spirit invitations and actions in some small way lovingly to transform the world. When we try to make wise financial decisions or figure out where resources are coming from to make some audacious dream a reality, it is not just the depths of our own pockets that we rely upon. It is the resourcing of the Holy Spirit that makes all things possible. This year at annual conference, we will vote on some 165 disaffiliating churches. This is a human failure that will have a large impact on our budget, our ability to staff churches across Nebraska and Kansas, and the morale of all those faith communities. But what if somehow something more than human failure is happening? What if the howling of a fierce wind is being heard among us? What if the untamed Holy Spirit is shoving us out of our comfortable upper room into the streets of our world, speaking in words of fierce love that we never knew we knew? What if this is a Pentecost moment for the United Methodist Church? The United Methodist Church is being transformed in front of our eyes. The Holy Spirit of love and grace is opening to us a path to be more inclusive, just, and loving. And so I believe that New Visions is in the midst of a Pentecost movement. The Spirit is working in us and among us to bring to life a vibrant and inviting community that can make people's lives more meaningful. She's inviting us to use our lives as the artwork of love and grace to beautify a gloomy and fearful world. And so here are some questions to ponder as we reflect on some of these ideas. Where do you catch a glimpse of the Spirit moving in your own life? How does it make you feel to consider that the Spirit has helped move you into the place where you need to be? What events in your life can look different if you consider them to be Spirit movements? If we are more than United Methodists and are a people responding to the invitation of the Holy Spirit, how does that alter your sense of community? This is Doyle Burbank Williams, and it's been my pleasure to share some of these thoughts with you. If you have some response to them, I hope you can leave them in the comments or reach out to us at New Visions United Methodist. We're on this journey together, and whether it is a leisurely walk on a sunny day or whether a fierce howling wind is blowing us into a new place, we are the people of New Visions, the visions of Christ's love and transforming grace. Hope to spend time with you again soon. Take care.